From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First headlines. President Joko Widodo asks Ulama to calm situation ahead of regional election. Financial Services Authority announces 18 firms offering fraud investment. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invited the Indonesian Ulama or Muslim scholars to maintain calm situation ahead of 2018 regional election. President Jokowi, according to Deputy for Protocol, Press and Media of Indonesia's Presidential Secretariat, Bey Mahmudin, on Tuesday, April 10, said that he has asked all ulama to suit and cool off the situation. Accompanied by Presidential Chief of Staff Muldoko and Special Staff of the Presidential Communication and Information, Johan Budi, President Jokowi delivered his concern in the meeting with ulama from several areas in West Java, including Bekasi, Bekasi Regency, Depok, Karawang, and Purwakarta. In a meeting at Presidential Palace Bogor, Jokowi asked ulama to help the government ease the election situation by preventing any improper information, including false or hoax news, defamation, and hate speech circulated among the society. Indonesia has huge maritime economic potential worth around $1.3 trillion, which 91% of it has not been managed maximally. Assistant Deputy of Law and Maritime Agreement, Deputy of Maritime Sovereignty Coordination, Coordinating Minister for Maritime, Budi Purwanto, said this potential provides huge opportunities for young generation to run their business in maritime sector. Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs, in cooperation with Awesome Consulting, held for the first time Young Entrepreneurs Maritime Symposium on Tuesday, April 10 in Jakarta. According to Budi Purwanto, the symposium will increase the knowledge of young generation on maritime sector, and it is in line with the vision of the government to realize Indonesia as a maritime axis of the world. He said, through this symposium, the younger generation will get information on maritime related policies.
Jadi pertemuan ini adalah pertemuan yang sangat bagus yang memang perlu dikembangkan.
So this is a very important meeting that really needs to be developed as a forum for the younger generation to know the maritime sector. There is something we want to know that our mission can return to the maritime world. The government provides a positive forum to give young people a chance to get closer. Budi further explained, the participants of this activity consisted of young generations from various regions in Indonesia. The speakers come from government, defense, entrepreneurs, non-governmental organizations, and banking. Budi pointed out, young businesses can do business in the field of waste processing. He stressed that processing waste into something positive is what the people need at this time. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is scheduled to visit Papua on Wednesday, where he would distribute land certificates. It would be his 8th visit to the region. Jokowi is expected to inspect traditional markets and infrastructure projects in the Regency of Asmat and Sorong in West Papua. Indonesian Home Affairs Minister Cahyo Kumolo said on Thursday, the president's frequent visit to Papua indicates his great attention to the condition of the country's easternmost regions. Cahyo Kumolo said after installing Papua's acting governor Sudarmo in Jayapura, Papua on Tuesday, that President Joko Widodo wanted Papua and West Papua to catch up with other regions through acceleration of infrastructure and social development. He wants to bring Nawacita or 9-point development program to reality through the development of infrastructure and social economy in Papua and West Papua. The Investment Alert Task Force of Financial Services Authority, OJK, called on the socially to be wary of investment products offers from 18 companies that were alleged to operate illegally and potentially inflict a financial loss. The task force chief Tongam L. Tobing, in a written statement in Jakarta on Tuesday, April 10, stated that the authority called on the socially to be alert and not to join any offers of investment or product from the 18 companies. Those 18 companies are Agent Kota Exclusive, PT Duta Network Indonesia, KH Pulsa, PT Citra Travelindo Jaya, PT Sejahtera Mandiri Insani, UFS Atomi, and Powerful Network Building. Moreover, there are Cavallo Coin, Voltron, Bitwin Coin, Java Coin, WX Coin, CryptoLabs, www.unisystem.us, PT Hollywood International Indonesia, and PT Seraya Investama Indonesia. Tongam stated the illegal investment increasingly widespread and worrisome since those five companies benefited the socialist lack of knowledge on the investment and proposed unreasonable profit. Those companies' activity or products have no legal permit as they only eyeing huge profit from the people. He reminded the society to affirm the company and its products permit before making an investment and did not fall to a huge profit they promised without understanding the risk. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian airline Lion Air Group has purchased 50 Boeing 737 MAX 10 jets worth $6.24 billion, the largest order for Boeing's latest version of 737 jets. Lion Air Group co-founder Rusti Kirana said at the signing of the purchasing contract in Jakarta on Tuesday, April 10, that the purchase is in line with the increase in passenger traffic, which has reached 300 million per year. Kirana noted that the company saw the future market not only in Indonesia, but also in Asia. In Malaysia, the company operated large airplanes and so also in Thailand. In addition to the growth rate in passenger traffic, development of airplane technology has required the company to adjust with market demand while improving its efficiency on operational costs. Meanwhile, President Director of Lion Air Group, Edward Sirait, remarked that Boeing 737 MAX 10 jet would generate more profit and cut operation costs due to its higher fuel efficiency. Boeing 737 MAX 10 would join the previous MAX 8 and MAX 9 already being operated by Lion Air Group. He said his optimism that the MAX 10 jets would become a solution for the company to expand its business and services, especially in Southeast Asia. The purchase was a follow-up of the commitment between Boeing and Lion Air Group at the Paris Air Show 2017. U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Joseph R. Donovan noted that the purchase of the 737 MAX 10 would help in enhancing bilateral trade between Indonesia and the United States. Indonesian state-owned toll road operator PT Jasa Marga posted a net profit of 2.2 trillion rupiahs last year, up 16.46% from 1.89 trillion rupiahs a year earlier. The rise in net profit was fueled by non-construction operating income totaling 8.92 trillion rupiahs, comprising 8.28 trillion rupees from toll income and 640.40 billion rupees from other operating income. PT Jasa Marga President Director Desi Aryani said after a general meeting of the company's shareholder in Jakarta on Tuesday. The net profit hike was also contributed by the company's effort to control its operating expenses as reflected by earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation and amortization margin, which rose 2.24% to 61.43% in 2017 from 59.20% a year ago. She added it was also supported by the company's effort to control interest burden. Based on the outcome of the general meeting of the company's shareholders this year, the company has agreed to distribute dividends worth 440 billion rupees or 20% of the profit among the shareholders. She said the company's assets total 79.19 trillion rupees as of 2017, a 48.02% increase compared to 53.50 trillion rupees the year before. This reflects the increasing construction activities of the company, along with its strategy to expedite the construction of toll roads to support economic growth and increase the company's value in the long run. As of late 2017, PT Jasa Marga has operated 680 kilometers of toll roads, making up 62.2% of toll roads in the country. ASEAN must remain neutral in the United States-China trade war in an effort to maintain peace and stability in the region. Executive Director of Center for ASEAN Studies at the University of Indonesia, Edi Prasetyono, stated in Jakarta on Thursday that ASEAN should maintain a neutral stance rather than favor any major powers. He said neutrality means not only being impartial in its relations with major powers, but also being neutral in the disputes some of its members have with China or other major regional powers. He remarked that balance is the key, and the key to balance is neutrality. Moreover, Southeast Asia is very strategic and important in terms of trade routes, maritime security, and so on. The four major regional powers such as China, Russia, Japan, Australia, and the United States want to plug their influence in Southeast Asia. Thus, ASEAN should formulate strategic cases to be faced in the region within the next 10 to 20 years. Well, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, this is a commentary. Peace effort in Syria getting distant. People of Syria will still suffer from the prolonged war in their country. The hopes that the bombing in some parts of the country will decrease following a ceasefire have not yet been materialized. There was another bomb attack on one of Syria's air bases in Tiyas, which is thought to be a base used by Russia, an ally of the Syrian government. The Syrian government said the bomb attack that was dropped by the fighter was done by the United States. Another ally, Iran, also declared the attack was carried out by the United States. Washington does not recognize the allegations. But the U.S. allies, Israel, whether coordinated or not, struck a Syrian airbase near the town of Homs and killed at least 7 people. In a statement, the Iranian government said the attack was based on unfit reason. Last week, rumors were circulated that Syrian government was launching an attack using chemical substances. As reported by Iran's official news agency, IRNA, Foreign Ministry spokesman Bahram Kassemi said the United States and Western countries made allegation of chemical gas strikes, the reason for military action against Damascus. Bahram Kassemi confirmed that the allegations were untrue. Iran is a supporter of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad in a war against US-backed insurgents and his allies. State supporters' opponents of the government of Bashar al-Assad condemn the use of chemical weapons in Douma, the city on which they are based. From Berlin, German government spokesman Stefan Seibert stated that his government condemned the use of toxic gases. Germany insists that the government of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad is responsible for the attack. The Bashar's government itself rejects allegation of attack with chemical weapons in the province controlled by the dissidents of the Bashar regime. The issue of chemical attack followed by airstrikes on Syrian territory proves that the turmoil in Syria is still difficult to resolve. Hostilities in the country have involved several other countries and mutual reciprocity. The result is a never-ending war and has killed many civilians. In the end, the Syrian people bear the consequences. That was commentary.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start with an event about the establishment of International Labour Organization on April 11, 1919. The International Labour Organization, ILO, was built on April 11, 1919. The ILO is one of the bodies under the auspices of the United Nations aimed at providing guidance in creating labour laws related to workers' rights and duties. Many efforts that have been made by the ILO are, among others, making agreement on wages, hours of work, minimum and maximum age for workers, providing welfare insurance for old age, as well as provisions on civil servant leave or holidays, and propose that all member states determine their labor law. On April 11, 1951, General MacArthur, dismissed from his duty as commander of U.S. forces in Korean War. U.S. President Harry S. Truman dismissed General MacArthur from his command of the U.S. forces that is committed its operation in Korean War at that time. The decision was taken by the U.S. President related to the dispute between the government and military in the resolution of Korean conflict. On the other hand, President Truman has chosen peace and went back to the status quo, while General MacArthur wanted to extend the conflict, even used nuclear weapons to end the Korean War. We end today's segment of Today in History with an event of Uganda President Idi Amin overthrown on April 11, 1979. After the coup of Ugandan President Milton Obote on January 25, 1971, Colonel Idi Amin established himself as President of Uganda. Idi Amin ruled a very authoritarian and repressive to anyone who is not in line with him. Uganda's previously prosperous economy was shattered after Idi Amin took a policy of nationalization of all foreign companies
and activities in the country and expelling non-indigenous people out from Uganda. Due to his authoritarian policy, the Ugandans revolted, and along with the opposition, Uganda's National Liberation Army, assisted by troops in Uganda, and besieged Uganda's capital, Kampala. Finally, on April 11, 1979, the attack forced Ugandan President Idi Amin to lose his position and flee to Libya, then requested asylum to Saudi Arabia. Listener, that was Today in History.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the regular segment of My Indonesia. Today we'll bring you the topic about Indonesian President Joko Widodo wants regional works use cash labor intensive system. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has said that a number of works in the region will be implemented in cash labor intensive scheme. The program is evaluated effective in encouraging employment in the region. On the other hand, the local infrastructures can also be built. This was conveyed by President Joko Widodo to the press on the sidelines of his working visit to the cash labor-intensive program of small irrigation in Pasir Suran Village, Pelabuhan Ratu Subdistrict, Sukabumi Regency, West Java, recently. Due to the road, which relatively narrow, the president and entourage used motorcycles to reach the village. During the visit, President Joko Widodo, accompanied by Public Works and People's Housing Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono and Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi, President Joko Widodo asserted that cash labor-intensive program promoted by the government would increase people's purchasing power by involving the local residents. The president wants cash labor-intensive program can distribute budget directly to villages so that people's consumption or purchasing power could increase. In West Java, there are 711 locations totaling 159 billion rupiah. It means that amount of money will be circulated in the province of West Java. President Joko Widodo asks all ministries to use program approach. Later, each ministry will synergize, for example, the Ministry of Public Works and People's Housing to build an irrigation channel, while the double railway will be done by the Ministry of Transportation. Previously, Minister of Public Works and People's Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono mentioned that there are 5,000 locations of cash labor-intensive small irrigation in Indonesia with 225 million rupiah budget per location. The amount consists of 30 million rupiah for a counseling consultant and 195 million rupiah for construction and labor costs. Nationally, the available budget of 1.2 trillion rupiah for small irrigation and 1.7 trillion rupiah for irrigation improvement in 5,600 locations, so that a total of 2.8 trillion rupiah provided by the government to 10,200 locations throughout Indonesia. Meanwhile, Head Office of Communication Center, Ministry of Public Works and People's Housing, Endra Atnawijaya, stated that the total of cash labor-intensive program this year has been budgeted 11.2 trillion rupiah. The labor-intensive program covering various activities at Directorate General of Water Resources, Directorate General of Human Settlements, Directorate General of Housing Provision and Financing, and Directorate General of Highways. Listener, that was today's My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invited Indonesian ulama to maintain concentration ahead of 2018 regional election. President Jokowi, according to Deputy for Protocol, Press and Media of Indonesia's Presidential Secretariat, Bey Mahmudin, on Tuesday, he said that he has asked all ulama to shoot and cool off the situation. Indonesia has huge maritime economic potential worth around $1.3 trillion US dollar, which 91% of it has not been managed maximally. Assistant Deputy of Law and Maritime Agreement, Deputy of Maritime Sovereignty Coordination, Coordinating Ministry for Maritime, Budi Purwanto, said this potential provides huge opportunities for young generation to run their business in maritime sector. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is scheduled to visit Papua on Wednesday, where he would distribute land certificates. It would be his eighth visit to the region. Jokowi is expected to inspect traditional markets and infrastructure projects in the regency of Asmat and Sorong in West Papua. The Investment Alert Task Force of Financial Service Authority, OJK, called on the society to be wary of investment products offers from 18 companies that were alleged to operate illegally and potentially inflict a financial loss. Those 18 companies were Agen Kota Exclusive, PT Duta Network Indonesia, KH Pulsa, PT Citra Travelindo Jaya, PT Sejahtera Mandiri Insani, UFS Atomi, and Powerful Network Building. Moreover, there are Cavallo Coin, Voltrun, Bitwin Coin, Chava Coin, WX Coin, Crypto Labs, www.unosystem.us, PT Hollywood International Indonesia, and PT Seraya Investama Indonesia. Indonesia airline Lion Air Group has purchased 50 Boeing 737 MAX 10 jets worth $6.24 billion, the largest order for Boeing's latest version of 737 jets. Lion Air Group co-founder Rusdi Kirana said at the signing of the purchasing contract in Jakarta on Tuesday that the purchase is in line with the increase in passenger traffic, which has reached 300 million per year. Indonesian state-owned toll road operator PT Jasa Marga posted a net profit of 2.2 trillion rupiahs last year, up 16.46% from 1.89 trillion rupiahs a year earlier. The rise in net profit was fueled by non-construction operating income totaling 8.92 trillion rupiahs, comprising 8.28 trillion rupiahs from toll income and 640.40 billion rupiahs from other operating income. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of tourism objects in East Nusa Tenggara Province. Stay tuned. Listener, East Nusa Tenggara Province, or NTT, has exotic nature. Even the nature in NTT is recognized in the world to have exotic and amazing natural scenery. The beauty of nature in the province until now is tainted by domestic and foreign tourists from various communities,
One of them is Rangko Cave. Listener, Rangko Cave is located at Rangko Village, Boleng District, West Manggarai Regency, East Nusa Tenggara. Although currently the tourism object has been catered in social media, this tourism object still preserves its nature. Rangko Cave is one of the tourism objects which is located at the land and connect to Komodo Island. Thus, the place is suitable to be destination after or before visiting Komodo National Park. Listener, to visit Rangko Cave, you will be amazed with the beauty of nature in the cave. Entering to the cave, you will be greeted with blue scenery from clear spring pool. The clear spring as if invite you to jump and to play water in its pool. If you want to enjoy the scenery and to swim at Rangko Cave, we suggest to come between 13 to 15 p.m. local time, because the cave is quite dark, so only at the times sunlight enter into the cave's crack. Listener, to Rangko Village, you can drive car or motorcycle from Labuan Bajo. Arriving at Rangko Village, you can continue your trip by renting boat from local people. The fee which must be paid is around 300,000 rupiah. To go to Rangko Cave from the gateway, the visitors must be through long bridge with the visitor must be through long bridge which connect to a dock. The trip takes 15 minutes by walking. Afterward, you will enter the cave's area. At a place, you will be through forest and slippery cliff. Thus, to reach Rangko Cave, you must be careful. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Rangko Cave, the hidden treasure in East Nusa Tenggara Province. Thank you for listening.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, along with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is musim, or in English, season. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about musim, or in English, season. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation between tour guide and Tony at Prambanan Temple.
Oh, cuacanya panas sekali.
Ya, sekarang sedang musim kemarau.
Oh ya, di Indonesia ada dua musim, benar?
Ya, benar. Musim kemarau dan musim hujan.
After we listen to the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies, idioms, and sentences related to the topic today about musim, or in English, season. I say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Cuacanya panas sekali. Cuacanya panas sekali. In English, the weather is very hot. Musim kemarau. Musim kemarau. In English, dry season. Musim hujan. Musim hujan. In English, rainy season. Di Indonesia. Di Indonesia. In English, in Indonesia. Dua musim. Dua musim. In English, two seasons. Sekarang. Sekarang. In English, now. There are two seasons in Indonesia, namely dry season and rainy season. If you feel the weather is hot, you can say cuacanya panas. Cuacanya panas. In English, the weather is hot. If the weather is cold, you can say cuacanya dingin. Cuacanya dingin. In English, the weather is cold. If you feel the weather is too hot, you can add the word very following the adjective. For example, cuacanya panas sekali. Cuacanya panas sekali. In English, the weather is very hot. Or, cuacanya dingin sekali. Cuacanya dingin sekali. In English, the weather is very cold. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for your listening clearly, let's listen the conversation once more.
Oh, cuacanya panas sekali.
Ya, sekarang sedang musim kemarau.
Oh ya, di Indonesia ada dua musim. Benar?
Ya, benar. Musim kemarau dan musim hujan.
Listener, as an exercise, please send us your voice recording in Indonesian language to our email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be interesting prizes for the selected senders. Please say your name, your address, and your favorite food. For example, Selamat pagi, nama saya Tina. Saya berasal dari Indonesia. Makanan kesukaan saya, nasi goreng. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa. Goodbye for now. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we present the songs from the Kups music group. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Lupa Lupa Tapi Ingat by The Kups. Happy listening.
Mari-mari, rame-rame kita kumpul tapi gak kebur. Leng, bukan nyanyi tulo-tulo, mari kita nyanyi yuk. Bye.
re minor ke G kecil lagi, A minor re minor ke G kecil lagi, A minor re minor ke G kecil lagi.
The Coups, originally named the Kuburan Band, existed in the Indonesian music world since 2001. It is unclear when actually the Coups was formed. However, September 11, 2001 was chosen as the anniversary of the Coups to commemorate the tragedy of the World Trade Center in the United States. Even though the date is confusing, but the birthplace of the Coups or Kuburan Band is in Bandung, West Java. The personnel of the band are six students of Parahyangan University of Bandung, namely Priya, vocalist, Raka, guitarist, Doni, guitarist, Denny, bassist, Ude, keyboardist, and Dino, drummer. In 2011, these six personnel had dissolved the Kuburan Band at the time. However, as a consequence, they still work as the Coups. The six personnel agreed to carry the metal hydraulic music, a self-made music genre. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Jessica by the Coups. Happy listening.
Sakit memang sakit. kau wanita penuh diri.
Was the song Jessica by the Corpse. In every performance, the person of the Corpse always cover their faces with makeup, which is primarily a super white powder and lipstick as metal band style. Many people think their performance was inspired by the Corpse is Kiss, a band from the United States. However, the makeup of the Corpse was actually inspired by Ria Jenaka, a renowned humor group in Indonesia. The Corpse claim that they present metal hydraulic music genre, which is defined as a metal without a definite direction. Sometimes the music contains metal, pop, rock, and dangdut genres. The song lyrics of the Corpse also seem humorous and use Indonesian and local languages. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Tua Tua Clubbing and Malin Kundang. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Garis-garis, tangannya di atas ya. Hey, cowok-cowok, tangannya dijaga. Kita joget sama Pak Kumis.
Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Yeah.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Ingin kucubit dua bola matamu, kucongkel dua belah pipimu, kurapah sedikit.
Thank you for listening to Indonesia Today from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast every day from 1500 hours Western Indonesia Time or 800 hours UTC through www.voinews.id or through mobile application RRI Play.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.